Hey guys, today on the show, we have Todd Hollinsworth, former MLB player. He was the 1996 National League Rookie of the Year, 2003 World Series champion. He won the Rookie of the Year with the Dodgers, where he was drafted back in 1991. And in 2003, he was with the Marlins and won a World Series. Remember that Florida Marlins team? Of course, now they're the Miami Marlins. When the Florida Marlins beat the Yankees in Yankee Stadium, Josh Beckett, back in 2003, Todd Hollinsworth was on that team. So he's got a World Series ring. He's got the National League Rookie of the Year trophy sitting in a trophy case. He's also got a faith, a strong faith in Jesus that he wants to share and be more bold about now that he is at 50 years old. This was a powerful conversation on a guy who is kind of in the same stage of life that I am, and wants to be more intentional about his faith. He also broadcasted for many years. You might remember him with the Cubs broadcasting and certainly with the Marlins from 2017 to 2021 calling their games. And now he's sort of at a crossroads. What's this look like? No more broadcasting at this moment for Todd Hollinsworth, but he wants to get back in the game. He certainly wants to be more bold about his faith. And so where are we at here? This is what we talk about with Todd Hollinsworth, 1996 National League Rookie of the Year, 2003 World Series champion. It's coming up in just a moment here on Sports Spectrum. First, I want to remind you about our Sports Spectrum magazine. We have Dude Perfect on the cover of our winter edition of Sports Spectrum's magazine. Kyle Gibson is going to be on the cover of the spring edition of the Sports Spectrum magazine. And you can order your subscription right now to get that spring edition of the magazine. Kyle Gibson, by the way, if I just throw out the name there, he was with the Orioles last year in 2023 and had a great year. Now he's with the St. Louis Cardinals as a starting pitcher in his hometown city in St. Louis. Kyle Gibson on the cover of our current Sports Spectrum magazine that you can subscribe to right now. Go to sportsspectrum.com. Click the subscribe button. When you check out, put in the code podcast15, podcast15. It'll give you 15% off an additional, already affordable price with the Sports Spectrum magazine. So go to sportsspectrum.com, subscribe today. It's faith-filled, family-friendly content in the world of sports. Your kids are going to love this magazine. Go check out sportsspectrum.com and subscribe today. Todd Hollinsworth, welcome to Sports Spectrum. It's great to see you.
I'm so thrilled to be with you. Thank you so much for having me on the program. It's a great opportunity.
Absolutely. There's a lot to cover. I want to definitely talk about your baseball career and some of the accomplishments you had and some of the experiences that you had. But obviously, our show is a little different, so I want to talk about your faith and the importance of God in your life. So let's start there. Let's start with Jesus. That's where we should always start. Who is Christ right now in the life of Todd Hollinsworth?
Oh, he's my everything. He really is. He's my everything. And he is the ruler of my house. He's the ruler of my family. He is who we follow. And he is what I'm all about. I love him with all of my heart. I'm much more expressive about that now than I used to be, which I guess I'm proud of in a lot of ways, and for an introvert, and that's definitely kind of who I am as a person. I've grown in my boldness, and that's a requirement. That's a requirement of our faith. I mean, we've been put into this world where, you know, every morning I wake up, God puts air in my lungs to be a difference maker for the kingdom, and to be a difference maker for letting my light shine bright. And I can thankfully tell you that I'm much better about that now than I used to be.
No, that's good. You've been really intentional lately about posting scripture and prayers and really all things Jesus on your Twitter page. Why? Mm-hmm. What's behind that? Anything specific?
Well, it's like my only avenue, really. As somebody who's lived a life kind of in the limelight as both a player and as a broadcaster, the answer to your question really is one word. It's courage, the courage to do it. So impressed at the young athlete today. And honestly, I would tell you this, the young athletes today, they're the ones who probably are at the heart of this, the inspiration that I've had to be more bold with my faith, more bold with the wisdom and the knowledge that God fills us with each and every day. And we know as we get older, we're going to become wiser. We're going to become wiser in the word. I'm 50 years old now. I'm not a player. It's been a long time since I stepped on a baseball field and swung a bat. Yeah. But the truth of the matter is, you know, I got the privilege to broadcast for an awful long time and certainly hope to, you know, create an opportunity to maybe do that again. But at the same time, I just lost my voice, I think, early in my life as far as my boldness and my courage really to express my faith and my testimony to the people around me. I almost felt like I had to justify my faith through my performance on the field. And early in my career, and most people remember me as, you know, the 1996 National League Rookie of the Year. And so, of course, the guy on the other side of that was Derek Jeter, who everybody knows. Yeah. And he was in the American League. So, you know, that, you know, the tandem kind of went together. But at the same time, I really, as I was progressing, not just as a baseball player, but as a Christian, I was becoming, I don't want to say weaker, but it's probably the right word. I had lost my courage. I had lost my faith, mainly because of the circumstances that were around me. I didn't become more bold like these Christian athletes that we see today that I'm just so proud of, you know, who put their testimony in front of their performance. I did the opposite. I was trying to justify my performance. If my performance was good enough, then my courage seemed to grow, then my boldness seemed to go. And there were times, I mean, I don't think people doubt who I was as a player and who I stood for, but my message had gotten lost.
Mm. Yeah, I feel like that's still a struggle today. I know we see a lot of young Christian athletes putting their faith out there, but I think just in general as Christians, not just athletes, but you and I are Christians first before we have any association with the world of sports.
Right.
I think that's a struggle for people. I mean, to be bold, I think there's a fear of people, I don't know, being rejected or judged.
Yes. Know,
certainly the world that we live in is less Christian than it was even when we were born, certainly 50 years ago. We're both 50 years old, Todd.
Right.
What's have you seen that as well, you know, sort of on this? And I think as the older we get, I know for me, the older I get, the less I'm worried about what other people think and the more bold I can be. But I have a daughter who's 19, 20 years old and at a Christian school, and yet there's still a little bit of fear, I think.
Sure.
To go out there and say, I love Jesus.
I agree 100%. And I guess the answer that really comes to my heart in this conversation is the ability for the brothers in Christ to come together and to support each other. I know early on in my career, I didn't really feel like I had a huge support group. We had baseball chapel on Sunday. Guys would come together. You know, of course, that room is mixed in a lot of ways. You know, there's a lot of guys that would, you know, come that maybe didn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ at that point in their life, but grew up in a house where, you know, I went to church on Sunday and, hey, everybody, we got chapel. And that was really it. I think that's really the answer to this, is that not only are we foreigners in a foreign land as Christians, as we all know, which we are, and we're always going to be in the minority. And that's okay. We're here to deliver a message. But, you know, I guess it takes me to, you know, we talk about, you know, the cords being connected, you know, the being bound, where two and three people together are much stronger than one by itself.
Yes.
And that is really what it comes down to. I speak an awful lot of, you know, early in my career, feeling kind of isolated and building walls to protect myself. And it wasn't because I didn't love my teammates. I did. I loved all my teammates. I loved every team that I played on. There were good guys. There were, you know, maybe guys that you didn't connect with. But I knew how to compete and be on the same field with all different types of people. And I love all kinds of people. But the truth is that the message that we're trying to give everybody about who we are and who's in control of our life can sometimes be overwhelming when you feel like you're doing it all alone. When you have groups like PAO is a great example of this, where, you know, you have pro athletes outreach and guys can come together and they know that there is a group. In that group is the power of Jesus. It's like why we go to church on Sunday. We don't go to church for one. We go to church to come together as a body. And when that body comes together, you know, you feel the moving of the Spirit. You feel the boldness and the courage all seems to come back to us. But in those moments where we get isolated, it's very difficult sometimes to stand on your podium and you know, make that profession of your faith, feeling like, man, I'm up here all alone. You know, Lord, where are you? Because you're all I got right now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's funny too, thinking about your posts and being more bold. I want to read to you a tweet back in December of 2023 that you wrote. It says, "Life is all about choices. Many are how we choose to react, emotions, when life isn't going our way. That can lead to breakthroughs or breakdowns. It's never easy, but stay positive. Jesus does all the heavy lifting. Our job is to stay ready." Now, I felt like those words were coming from a baseball player encouraging another young baseball player, but also from a follower of Christ encouraging another follower of Christ. How have you seen those words transfer into the life of Todd Hollinsworth and staying ready? It feels like that resonates in a lot of different ways right now.
Well, I think, and you're 100% right. And I remember when I put that out there that, you know, a lot of what I was going through and have been going through over the last couple of years has not been easy. My life has not been easy over the last couple of years. But the truth is that still making a difference and still having a voice matters. And it's the, you know, kind of what I just told you about feeling justified in my testimony. It's easy to get up on the podium and put yourself in a position to accept the World Series trophy. Everybody wants to know what you have to say. Does everybody want to listen? You know, do you have something that's going to change somebody's life? Because the majority of people in this world right now are struggling. The majority of people are hurting.
Yes.
And when you can connect through that with them and still have the joy of the Lord in your heart and still have that message that it's going to be okay, we're going to get through this, we're going to persevere, we're going to go through the trials, you start to realize that what God really wants from us is simple. It's I don't need to know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. I don't have to have all the scriptures memorized. I'm not going to be that type of sounding board. What God really wants from us is obedience. He wants boldness. That can be easy. Courage, well, that can be easy too. It can be hard, but it can be easy. But just saying yes to your call and stepping into that moment, you know, and I guess I kind of correlate it back to when I was trying to make my way to the big leagues. You know, there were a lot of things that came at me, you know, circumstantially. I use the story an awful lot. I was so excited. In 1991, I was drafted by the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now, I was their first pick. I wasn't a first round pick, but I was their first pick. And of course, you feel like, you know, you're the man, you know, okay, the organization, you're their top dog, you're the guy. They gave you some money, they gave you an opportunity, here you go. And then you realize the following year, they're going to take an All-American center fielder from UCLA who does exactly what you do, play center field. And you realize, wow, that wasn't long. Competition's already there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, now all of a sudden you're in this position where you're like, okay, well, wait a minute, I thought I was the man. Okay, well, you're not the man. But the courage and the boldness to go out there and compete. And that's the way that my mind really functioned well. And of course, I understood it in terms of baseball, but when you correlate it to your faith, it's the exact same thing. It's exactly what we want, and it's exactly what we're searching for. We can't lose our courage, and we can't lose who we are and what we are in Christ, because he loves us unconditionally. And that's the bottom line. He knows that we're not perfect. He just wants you to say yes. When he says, I need something from you, be ready to go. When I need a word, I need for you to give a word to a teammate, be ready to give that word to a teammate. When you're going to get that opportunity, man, you're the star of the game. You're going to get a microphone put in your face after this ball game. Step into it. Talk about me. I'm the one who put you here. And so all of those things started to make sense. And so that's how I try to really encourage people, probably more than anything, is through failure. It's not so much the success, but that's kind of how everybody tends to look at somebody who's a former athlete, who's got a, you know, a World Series championship on his resume, who's had success as a broadcaster, who's, you know, won the Rookie of the Year award, who had, you know, 12 years at the major league level and, you know, did some things. Everybody thinks that, you know, you're the smartest person in the room, but the truth of the matter is, most of the times I walk into the room, I feel like the dumbest. And so really all I've got is who I am and what my faith is all about. And that's just it. So sometimes there's that misrepresentation that you get because of what you accomplished in the field that you're in. I'm really not an expert on anything, maybe a smidge of baseball, but hopefully a lot of faith and a lot of Jesus. And that's what I'm all about. And that's what I've become at this stage of my life.
Well, that's what Jesus really is talking about in terms of him become greater and we become less, about the Sermon on the Mount, where he talks about Blessed are the meek, blessed are the poor in spirit. Like, he wants us to come to him, but also to be out there saying, this isn't me. You know, they say, what is it? Pride comes before the fall, and those who are proud will be humbled, and those who are humbled will be proud. You know, I mean, it's exalted, I think is the right word. Those who are humbled will be exalted. I think there's a reason that that's what he's teaching us. Because if we come out there and think we got it all figured out, which, listen, Todd, you and I both have been there, whatever field that we've worked in, and thought we had it all figured out, you might go 4 for 4 in a day, maybe hit a couple homers and be like, yep, I got this figured out. And quickly you're humbled if you go 0 for 4 the next day.
Yeah.
I think that's the posture that Christ wants us to walk in. Do you see that?
100%. Absolutely. And, you know, that's where it, for everybody listening and for, fans of baseball and fans of sports and fans of athletes, that you realize that we are going to have those moments where, as an athlete, you're going to be great and you're going to have that day. But it's also a reminder that you're human, you're a sinner. You're going to break down. You're going to go. I played 12 years. I had one day I went 5 for 5. One day where I walked off the field and said, okay, I got to hit every time I got in the box that day.
Yep.
But the point is that for me, it's less of me and more of him. And I feel like I've learned a lot more about that in my life as I've gotten older than when I was younger. Because, the pursuit was, conquer, win at all costs, do this, do that. But the truth of the matter is, most of the time, Jesus is not overly concerned with the outcome of the World Series or the NBA Finals or who wins the Super Bowl. He's about getting brothers and sisters to heaven. I mean, he's about eternity. And so when you can kind of simplify it by backtracking it to like, okay, what's the most important thing that comes out of the day? It's my message. It's who I am. It's how I live my life. It's how I treat you. It's how I treat my neighbor. It's how I treat my friends. It's how I treat the person who just came at me. It's how I treat the person who's ripping on the horn behind me in traffic, because I'm not moving. It's all of those things. You start to realize that, there's a lot of things that could light our fuses, but that's where we become difference makers in the world. And it's not by trying to meet somebody who's not a believer at their place or on their level. It's trying to live your life in a way so that when they see you, they're attracted to it and they want it. And they're like, what makes that guy different than everybody else in this room? And most of the time, it's really just very simple. It's kindness, humility, fruits of the spirit that bring people there. Because I guess the one thing that I continue to see is that people are hurting, and I know athletes, and of course that's my avenue, but just around the world, just going through town, just where I live, and people you see, there's a lot of struggle out there, but there's also a lot of opportunity to bring the greatest light in this world to them just through being good example of Jesus.
We're talking to Todd Hollingsworth here on Sports Spectrum. 1996 National League Rookie of the Year. You mentioned it. Was that the best thing or the worst thing or somewhere in between of what could have happened for your career? Because when you come out of the box and you're National League Rookie of the Year, I got to imagine you're walking out there a little bit, the chest out a little bit. Like, you don't have it figured out, but this is a pretty darn good way to start your career.
It is. And a lot of attention came with it, and it happens fast. There's a long story. I'm going to give you the short of the story because it is one of my better parts of my testimony. And when I tell the story, because most people never know the details behind actually doing something like that. They just recognize the accomplishment for what it is. In 1995, I actually got to the big leagues and made the roster, got hurt multiple times, played 40 games, and walked into 96 with my rookie status still intact. And about a billion doubts in my mind. In 1995, I had some moments. I had a 2-homer game, a couple of things that kind of were, the jumping off point. It's interesting because the rookies of the year in 1995, it came down to Hideo Nomo and Chipper Jones.
I remember.
And Chipper's in the Hall of Fame. And Hideo had, I mean, honestly, I don't remember. I know that he won the Rookie of the Year, but I definitely know that he was on the ballot for the Cy Young. I guess my point in telling you that is that even though I had good numbers when I won the award in 96, I never would have competed with what happened in 95. I would have just been down the ballot. That's just that simple. I would have probably come in third or fourth, and that would have been it. End of story. And through all of that 95 winter, I was going into 96 with no degree of certainty. I mean, you know, Tommy Lasorda, my manager at the time, and the team, they were like, yeah, this kid can play, but we don't know what his role is going to be. We don't know how it's going to develop. You know, we gave him a little bit of a chance. You know, he breaks his thumb, he breaks his hand. That was in 95. And so we're going to give him a chance, but we're not, you know, they kind of kept the tight reins on me in 96. And it was probably the best case scenario because the year developed for me. As the year went on, I mean, I got off to a decent start, but I wasn't hitting for power. But I was doing enough to keep myself in the lineup. But as this thing went, as July became August, I was playing better and better and better and better and better. And it was almost like creating momentum. And of course, winning the Rookie of the Year in 96 made five in a row, which to this day still hasn't been touched. And to think that any organization could run five Rookies of the Year out there again is, especially in today's game, is almost hard to believe, just the way that, you know, rookies are treated and the way the system kind of works. But, you know, yeah, to have five Rookies of the Year in a row is still a record to this day. And I happen to be the fifth, knowing that I had no chance of being the fourth. So maybe that's the best way to put it. So was it a blessing? It absolutely was a blessing. Did it come with intense pressure? Man, I was in the minor leagues by June of 97 because I got off to another slow start. And my wife and I were just talking about this a little while ago. It was a really, really, really tough time because I was dealing with expectations. I felt like I was losing my testimony. And again, kind of like I said early on, my son, my second oldest son, Tug, said this morning. I guess my wife kind of said it as well, but it was like I was kind of living my life at that time with the idea that my testimony was attached to excellent play and it was going to work backwards, where in fact, I feel so empowered by so many of these young athletes today who are like, no, I haven't done a thing yet in the big leagues, but this is who I am as a Christian. I love Jesus. I'm going to wear a cross on my shirt. I'm going to wear a shirt that says Jesus during the World Series. I'm going to do all of these things that are going to get people, because this is who I am. This is who I am at the core. This is what I'm all about. That's what I wish I could change if I could go back in time. I feel like I have it now, but I'm 50 years old and I can barely get up out of bed in the morning because my knees are hurting so bad. So, you know what I mean? It's like, yeah, okay, God, I got it. You got me back. Here I am. I'm ready to run. I'm ready to pounce. But, it, you know, at the same time, I have to recognize where God's got me in life, and it's in a different phase. I am thrilled that I have my boldness back. But, you know, to encourage athletes out there, no, your testimony is not directly connected to the success that you have on the field. You know, you don't have to be the greatest athlete in the room to have a voice. You can be the most, by definition, maybe the more insignificant person. But, you know, if you're catching my attention by your faith and your walk, then you're doing your job.
Wow. It reminds me, too, of athletes. You know, when you win a World Series or you win a Super Bowl or you had the greatest game you've ever played and a microphone is stuck in your face, it's pretty – I'm not saying it's easy, but it's pretty easy to then give the glory to God. I mean, you can also take the glory yourself, but I appreciate when we covered so many of them, when athletes point to Christ in the midst of winning something big. You know, Tony Dungy standing on the podium and winning a Super Bowl and saying it's because of God, not because of me. Those are great. But I appreciate the guys who can still give glory to God and point to Christ when they lose.
Amen.
I think so many, Todd, like you just said, predicate their witness, their story, their testimony on only if they've won, and they're damaging their testimony for Christ if they lose, which is actually the complete opposite, in my opinion, of how Christ wants it. He wants you giving glory to him when you lose. Amen. And when things aren't going well.
Right.
Not when things are at, you know, the top of the mountain.
God does not, Jesus Christ does not need us to qualify him, nor do I need to be qualified. And that's really what it comes down to. And
yeah,
it's so well said. You said it perfectly. And I agree wholeheartedly. That is exactly it. Our testimony to most people is at its highest and at its best when we're at our weakest. Mm-hmm. It's yes. why we seem to, you know, I mean, it's, you know, I've prayed this prayer probably a million times, Jason, I'm sure you probably have at some point in your life where you're like, okay, you're at your lowest moment, you're dealing with something, you're going through something, I don't know, whatever it is, everybody, you know, goes through something. Why is it in those moments that we're driven back to Christ, where we're on our knees, you know, we've got tears running down our face, and here we are, Lord, total vulnerability. Where's that vulnerability on the flip side of that? And that's the point. And it's like, it's unfortunate, but it's human nature. And that's really what it comes down to, is that, you know, and I think so many people out there fail to realize at times that our relationship is just that with Jesus. It's relational.
Yes.
And what that means is it's a two-way street. God is not a genie. Jesus is not a genie. Yes, there's nothing that I can do outside of the mercy of God and his son, Jesus Christ, to gain eternity. And there's nothing that he wants from me. No amount of money, no amount of words, no amount of encouragement. All he wants is our faith and our worship. And that's all that we can truly give him, because we're sinners and we're going to fail and we're going to screw up and we're going to disappoint and we're going to mess this up. And that's the reality of what we are. But our testimony is so, so valuable when we are not perfect. And I think that that is what people really relate to in so many ways. I know that it's moved me so many times when you see just what you said, somebody speaking from the heart. Yeah, the other team was better than us today. I didn't have my best, but I love Jesus anyway. And you're just sitting there going, wow, that's what we're talking about. That's digging deep, because that's not defining the moment. That's defining your savior. And that's what we're looking for. We're looking for that definition. What makes that man different? Well, sure, man, you scored 3 touchdowns. It's all good, man. I get why you're up there giving glory to God. It's just, you know, again, human nature. We saw bowl season. And there were so many of these great athletes that were being put in front of the camera that had a microphone, you know, handed there, and you could almost sense when they were coming. You can see it in their spirit. It's like, okay, here comes that great message that we're so proud of. Amen. Yeah. But to your point, and it's so valuable, because so many people say, okay, well, am I going to get that moment? Do I get that podium moment? 99.9% of society does not get that moment. So what are they going to be attracted to? Because my life is not that happy. My heart, you know, I'm just happy enough, you know, to get gas in my car in the morning or to pay the bills or whatever the case may be. So when you're going through those moments, who are the people that really resonate? And you just tend to find that when struggle is there, you realize that's the common denominator. We're all struggling. Christians are struggling. Human beings are struggling. Non-believers are struggling. So why are you so happy? Why do you have so much joy? How are you smiling, you know, cheek to cheek or, you know, just, you know, giving the joy of the Lord off to everybody when you just lost?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's Paul says, when I am weak, he is strong. And I'm like, yep, that's the faith that I want to have.
Amen.
You know, that's the life I want to live, is even in the tough moments that Jesus is still there. I do have to ask you about that mountaintop moment. You won a World Series, mm-hmm. 2003. What was that like? You were with the Marlins, by the way. I don't know if people remember that 2003 year. That was the upset of the Yankees in 2006, I believe, in Yankee Stadium when you guys clinched. What was that season like? Describe, just in a little bit of time here, what that experience was like to win a World Series.
Absolutely amazing. It was the coming together. You know, people ask you questions over the course of, you know, when you have a career that, you know, spans, you know, at least a few seasons. Most people ask you at some point in their life, you know, where was your favorite place to play? Who's your favorite manager? All those great questions. That, to me, you know, the best thing about that team was the team itself. We were an absolute catastrophe in April and May, self-included, not living up to expectations, not getting the job done. Everybody was expecting more from a young and talented group, but we were not performing at a very high level. Jeff Torborg was our original manager. He unfortunately was let go. I've said this and I'll say it again. We would have won that World Series with Jeff Torborg. He was a great manager and he was a good man and he knew what he was doing. It was the players who let him down. And I think every one of us would say that, you know, Jeff's fate was definitely connected to us being 12 games under 500 in the middle of May. You know, so we made some adjustments. really the biggest adjustment in the group was the group itself. We stopped playing for ourselves and we really started playing for each other. And it's what the common denominator became. I tell people all the time, we had guys in the middle of the lineup dropping down sack bunts. We had a dynamic, 1-2 punch at the top of the lineup with Louis Castillo and Juan Pierre. I was our starting right fielder, but slid over for Miguel Cabrera so he could come up and play. But see, that's the thing. And I remember this. I'll tell people the story. The Marlins came to me and said, "Listen, Todd, we respect you. You've handled yourself like a complete professional here." And I mean, very, very, nice words. But here's the deal: we're calling up Miguel Cabrera, and it's going to directly affect you. You're not starting for us any longer. What would you like for us to do? Because we know that there's teams out there and, you're having a decent year. There's teams out there that would certainly trade for you. Would you like for us to attempt to trade you? And I said, at the time, I said, absolutely not. I said, I came here for a year. I signed a contract with this team and I'm here to see it through. And whatever my role is, I will do the best to make the most of it. And, interestingly enough, I took a secondary role. Became our top pinch hitter, had a good run through the playoffs, had good numbers in the postseason. In fact, went against the Cubs in 03 and went 3-for-3 against them off the bench with some big hits, multiple big hits in that series, which so interestingly led me to about 8 or 9 different offers that winter in free agency. And it so much of it had nothing to do with baseball and how I chose to handle the moment. And because I handled it that way, I felt like opportunity came back around, and it wasn't about the performance. It wasn't about my numbers so much as it was just how I chose to handle it. And I'm very grateful that at that moment in time, my faith was maybe not on full display for all to see, but, standing up, seeing your way through it. These athletes today, sometimes I see it, I guess it reminds me of summer ball. Summer baseball, and I don't know how familiar you are with that, but kids jump around all the time. If something's not going their way, they just quit and go to another team. And it's like, that's unheard of. They don't know how to persevere. They don't know how to see their way through the fire. And it turned out well, but what a great team. What a great group. We used nobody taking us seriously to the fullest of our potential. I mean, it was such a strength on our ball club because nobody ever gave us a chance. We weren't supposed to beat the Cubs. We weren't supposed to beat the Giants. We weren't supposed to beat the Yankees. And we told everybody at the time, it's funny, but we've had the best record in baseball since late May, and nobody seems to know that. But we struggled mightily at the very, very beginning, got our acts together, and became a force. And so it was a great group of guys. We were pretty confident we were going to win, I mean, in that clubhouse. I don't think that there was I remind people as in 2003 – that's the series with Bartman ball and the Chicago Cubs. Right. And people think back to that moment in time and they think that the Cubs should have won and that they lost because of the Bartman situation. Well, the thing in our clubhouse and in our dugout at that moment in time, even though we were down to our last 5 outs, there was not 1 ounce. And I mean this with all sincerity, there wasn't an ounce of desperation. When you feel like you're working on borrowed time, maybe sometimes the game gets a lot easier. And I think that that's kind of where we were at. And we were dangerous because we weren't afraid. And that's really what it came down to. And we were able to find our way back in that series. Of course, that carried on and we found our way through the World Series and became champions.
Yeah, I was in my third year, I think maybe fourth year at ESPN at that time. And covering that, it was so easy to gravitate towards the Bartman play.
Right.
People forget, well, they had a chance to get out and they couldn't get anybody out. And they lost the game because of other things as well. And certainly the Yankee series too. I mean, this is the very last hurrah of that, I think, 7-year run that the Yankees had from 96, the year Jeter was rookie of the year, all the way to 03. And nobody thought the Yankees were going to, lose to you guys. I mean, just thinking out loud, if I remember, because – Yankee Stadium, and it's that core group of players that had one more run in them, and you guys took them. I mean, it was just awesome to watch, and I think Josh Beckett was the MVP, right? And
had well deserved. I mean, he really stepped into his own that postseason. We basically picked up an ace. Not that he didn't have a great year. He did have a very, very good year, but he took it to another level in that postseason. And I mean, we could go on and on, and I could tell you stories for days. Just about the. I mentioned it at the very beginning, what the key I thought was to that group was selflessness, which again kind of speaks to our faith and humility. Yeah. And that group, whether intentionally or unintentionally, displayed it. And our starters, it was interesting because the comparison kind of gets thrown out there. The Cubs were kind of sticking to a script in the NLCS, which was, you know, their starters and their bullpen. And they were having issues in their bullpen as we were having issues in our bullpen. And it was our starters who started coming out of our bullpen because they were our strength. We weren't seeing that on the other side of the field. Right. And when that story gets told, again, that's that selflessness. It's not like, no, I'm not going to go down to the bullpen. Josh Beckett did it, I don't even know how many times that postseason, where he went from the mound right back down to the bullpen, right back into a ball game. And you're like, this guy's acting like a superhero, and that's what we need. And that's, yeah. You know, it was amazing. And it was like, he was the one who stepped into the moment, and it really thrust his career forward. And to his credit, he deserved it because he stepped into that moment, embraced it, and took it to another level. And I think that's why we remember him the way that we do through that time, was the fact that through him taking the ball more and more and more, there was still that selflessness. It was like, no, you know, hey, listen, I threw seven innings on Sunday. He threw seven innings on Sunday. And if I remember correctly, he threw six innings on Tuesday or Wednesday to finish off game seven, which is like, that's unheard of. Starters don't do that. And in today's game, I'm not even sure if you get to see that moment again. Because there's just so much control over, you know, who's calling the shots and, you know, innings and abuse and the arm and the whole thing. But in that moment of time, we won a World Series because we did.
Yeah, you do whatever it takes to. I think of Bumgarner in 2014, I think it was, when he was with the Giants and he pitched in, I think, game five and then game seven. 2 days later, he comes in and throws six innings in relief and does whatever it takes, and the Giants win the World Series. Yeah, it's those moments that I love thinking about. And you're right. We could talk for days about this stuff. I'll hold on some of these stories so the next time we have you on, we can dive deeper into the well of all the stories. Let's wind down with this. You broadcasted for many years as well. You've been out broadcasting since, I think, 21, right?
Yes.
And how to get back in. So where do you see God kind of shaping you right now with your faith and growing in him and certainly wanting to stay ready, like you talked about and tweeted, but also kind of see if this baseball thing is something that you can dive back into as well? What's your mindset right now?
Well, my mindset is that I'm kind of a blank canvas at the age of 50. Yes, I have a resume. Yes, I have, you know, a long Major League Baseball history, and I am open and willing and able to, you know, embrace whatever God has next. And I guess that, you know, through the last few months, that's what I've been exploring. I've been exploring opportunities to coach or to get back in other ways. I don't know how God's going to use me right now. And it's interesting because I'm in a position where I'm probably more confident that God is going to use me in a way that I didn't see coming. But that he's going to answer my prayer and that he's going to put me in that position. But to answer your question, I find it very difficult to, because I don't know specifically what it is. You network and you knock on doors and you ring doorbells and say, hey, listen, you know, I'm ready and able, you know, where do you need me? Where are you going to use me? And I guess I'm reminded so many times that a lot of times closed doors are, they're not bad things. So, you know, there have definitely been some closed doors over the last, you know, a couple of months, but meaning it wasn't so much about me as it was about the opportunity. Or is it directly connected to Todd, you know, and I, speaking for God maybe a little bit here, but, you know, I've got something for you. I just haven't revealed it to you yet. And I can't have you going down this door or in this or running off to do that while we get this door open. So that's kind of where I'm at right now. I know a door is going to open. I know an opportunity is going to come my way. But in the meantime, I've just been diligent. I've been patient. I have reinvested in my family, which we needed a healthy dose of around here. Major League Baseball will, in Major League Broadcasting too, takes you away. And there was a lot of time where my wife did so much of the heavy lifting. And over the last couple of years, I've had the opportunity to really reinvest into my family, reinvest into my children, get involved with my two sons, Ty and Tug, who are playing college baseball. My youngest son, who's he's a freshman and, you know, has aspirations of being a Major League Baseball player someday. My daughter, who I love dearly, who's a tremendous cheerleader. You know, all of these things that are going on. in their lives I've actually gotten the opportunity now to be a part of that I didn't get to be a part of for many, many years. So I embrace the season of down that I've had over the last couple of years where I've been searching and questioning and wondering and, Lord, where are you? Help me out here. But it's interesting. And, you know, I've been 2 years, you know, as we get to 2024, I'm probably more optimistic and more excited for what God's got in store for me this year, not even knowing what to tell you.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's a reminder of God answering all prayers. The answer being yes, no, or I don't, not right now. And wait, then that's where, you know, the faith comes in and we put our hands open and say, okay, God, whatever you have, I'm willing to take it. And usually when we approach God that way, he kind of blows our minds. That's right. My own experience. Kind of says, see, I just told you to hang in there and here's what I got for you. So I'm excited to see Todd Hollinsworth, what he has for you, but I appreciate you joining the show. Appreciate you coming on and certainly we'll be wishing you nothing but the best, my friend.
Well, I greatly appreciate it. I certainly thank you for having me on, Jason. You're doing great work. I follow you on, obviously, on Twitter and certainly Sports Spectrum and everything else that's going on in your life. You're making an impact. You're doing great work and certainly just thrilled to be a part of your show today.
Thank you, buddy. And many thanks to Todd Hollinsworth for joining us here today on Sports Spectrum. He's got such a great story and such a heart for the gospel, and just appreciate him coming on the show. If you're on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it, make sure you follow him. Let him know that you heard his story here today on Sports Spectrum. And while you're there, make sure you're following us as well on all of our social media pages. We're on Twitter, of course, X. We're on Instagram. We're on YouTube. We're on Facebook. Give us a follow. Even TikTok, believe it or not. For Sports Spectrum, give us a follow and let us know that you're listening, that you're checking out our content, and that you're seeing what we're doing here with Sports Spectrum as we keep Jesus in the sports conversation. Make sure you're on our website as well, sportsspectrum.com. You can also follow or like this podcast on whatever app you're listening to podcasts on. We appreciate you obviously listening, but make sure you're subscribing and following. That way, you don't miss any episodes going forward in conversations like today's with Todd Hollinsworth. We love you guys. We appreciate you. We thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time right here with another episode of the Sports Spectrum podcast. Have a great rest of your day. We love you, and we'll see you soon.